Hey, good morning, everybody. How are you today? Good to see you. I am so delighted that you are here. For those of you joining online, thank you so much for joining online. And excited about today. This is our final week of At the Movies. And before I go into that, I want to just emphasize something that was just said. This Wednesday is our first Wednesday service, 7 p.m. right here in the Worship Center. I want to talk to you this week, this Wednesday, about something that is probably uncomfortable for a lot of people to hear. But there is a reality out there, and that reality is that this life is not all that there is. That there is a heaven and there is a hell, and there is a place that all of us are going to find ourselves in eternity. And that Jesus particularly teaches on this in one of his parables. And so I want to talk to you about that this Wednesday. How many of you think you can handle an uncomfortable subject? Can you handle that? Now listen, my hope is not that you come in here and go, yeah, that's right. All those sinners just need to go. My hope is that it will burden your heart to look at people differently and see your neighbors and your loved ones as people who have an eternity awaiting them, and that it will literally spur you on to share the good news about the glorious riches of Christ Jesus. As a matter of fact, that's what this morning's final message through this modern day parable is. A parable is very simple. A lot of people say it, but let me just tell you what a parable is. It's a comparison. That's what a parable is in biblical terms. It's where Jesus tells a story and compares it to a kingdom truth. Today, what we're looking at is a modern day story, but finding a kingdom truth in it. And what I want you to see in today is it is so important for us to remember that our mission, our goal in this life is not just to have it easy, but that Jesus has commanded us to go and preach the gospel, to go and find and seek and save those which are lost. And today, this movie is about that, and I want you to see the biblical ties to it with the scriptures that are included in it. And I hope that at the end of this, you will find something within you that spurs you on to say, this is my mission in order to see lost people saved. Welcome to week three of At the Movies. Today we'll examine the movie The Martian, starring Matt Damon. This movie is a science fiction film based on Andy Weir's 2011 novel called The Martian. On November 25th, 2035, the crew of the Ares III manned mission to Mars encounters an unexpected strong dust storm that threatens to topple their Mars Ascent Vehicle, or MAV, forcing them to hastily leave the planet. During the evacuation, astronaut Mark Watney is struck by debris and lost in the storm. The last signal from his spacesuit indicates no signs of life. With Watney believed dead and the storm worsening by the second, mission commander Melissa Lewis orders the remaining crew to return to their orbiting vessel Hermes without him.
Team, stay inside of each other. Let's make NASA proud today.
How's it looking over there, Watney?
Well, you'll be happy to hear that in grid section 1428, the particles were predominantly coarse.
But in 29, they're much finer, and they should be ideal for chem analysis.
Oh, wow. Did everybody hear that? Mark just discovered dirt. Should we alert the media?
Sorry, what are you doing today, Martinez?
Making sure the MAV is still upright.
Well, I'd like you to know that visual inspection of the equipment is imperative to mission success. I also would like to report that the MAV is still upright.
Watney, you keep leaving your channel open, which leads to Martinez responding, which leads to all of us listening, which leads to me being annoyed.
Roger that. Martinez, the captain, would like you to please
shut your smart mouth.
We would prefer to use a different adjective to describe Martinez's mouth.
Oh, did Beck just insult me?
Dr. Beck, and yes.
Happy to turn the radios off from here, Commander. Just say the word.
Wait, Johansson, that constant communication is the hallmark of any team that...
No,
Oh, excuse me.
Apologize for my countryman, Vogel.
Accepted. How many samples do we need, Commander?
700 grams each.
We have a mission update. Storm warning.
Commander, you should come inside. You're gonna wanna see this.
What is it?
Storm warning. I saw that in this morning's briefing. We'll be inside before it hits.
Yeah, they upgraded their estimate. The storm's gonna be a lot worse.
Martinez, how's it look?
Not good.
1,200 kilometers in diameter, bearing 24.41 degrees.
That's tracking right towards us.
Based on current escalation, estimated force of 8,600 newtons?
What's the abort force?
7,500.
Anything more than that, and the map could tip.
We scrub.
Begin abort procedure.
They are estimating with a margin of error. We could wait it out.
Let's wait it out. Let's wait it out.
Commander.
Prep emergency departure.
Commander?
We're scrubbed. That's an order.
Martinez, how long before takeoff?
12 minutes.
Visibility is almost zero. Anyone gets lost, hone into my suit telemetry. You ready?
Ready! Commander, are you okay?
I'm okay!
We're at 10 degrees and the map is going to tip at 12.3.
Hey! We might be able to keep the map from tipping! Help! Use the cable for the Coastmaster's guidelines! Anchor it with the rover!
Warning!
Warning. Suit breach detected.
What happened? He was hit! What did he report?
Before we lost telemetry, his decompression alarm went off.
You'll have to! Where'd you lock?
Negative.
He's
complete
offline.
Loss of signal on Watney.
Bitch! Yeah! How long could he survive decompression? Less than a minute.
Line up! Walk west. He may be prone. We don't want to step over him.
Commander?
Warning.
We're at 10.5 degrees.
Excessive tilt.
Tilting to 11.
Warning.
With all the gusts of wind.
Copy that. Everyone, hone in on Martinez's suit. It'll get you to airlock. Get in, prep for launch.
What about you, Commander?
I'm gonna search a little longer. Get moving! Go! Wendy! Wendy, report!
The map's at 11.6 degrees. One good gust and we're tipping.
If it tips, you launch!
You really think I'm gonna leave you behind?
That's an order, Martinez! Mark! Proximity radar. Could that detect from this suit?
Well, it's made to see the Hermes from orbit, not a little piece of metal from the single suit.
Give it a try.
Roger.
What is she thinking? She knows the infrared can't get through a sandstorm. She's grasping for anything.
We've got negative contact on the proximity radar.
Nothing?
Nah. I can barely see the hat.
Commander, I know you don't want to hear this, but Mark is dead. Commander.
Stability warning.
What happened?
Get back to the ship now! 13 degrees. If we pass ballast, we'll never rock back. I got one more trick left, and then I'm following orders, Commander. You're firing the OMS? That's right.
Mark!
1.5 and holding. Ready to go on your command. Ready to launch. Commander, I need you to verbally tell me whether or not to
launch.
This movie reminds us of the reason Mount Paran North exists. It reminds us that God goes to great lengths to reach everyone, because that's how much God loves just one lost person. He really loves them. And if we're going to love God, we have to love the people He loves. That's why we believe church growth is essential, because every person matters to God. That's why we continue to look for creative ways to explain the gospel. That's why we pray for the lost, invite them to attend, and updated our buildings a couple of years ago. That's why we keep up with numbers, because they matter. We're all about the number of people coming home to God, the number of marriages restored, the number of families reconciled, and the number of lives fulfilled. We never stop looking for lost people because God never stopped looking for us. So what do we do? We continually put ourselves in the shoes of those who are far from God, trying to understand what they're going through, so that we can do everything we can to rescue them. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22, "I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some." So how do we do that? By trying to understand how people far from God really feel. Many are like Mark Watney. Life dealt them a tough blow, and now they find themselves in situations they don't want to be in, trapped with seemingly no way out, just trying to survive.
At around 4:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, our satellites detected a storm approaching the Ares III mission site on Mars. At 6:45, the storm had escalated to severe, and we had no choice but to abort the mission. Thanks to the quick action of Commander Lewis, astronauts Beck, Johansson, Martinez, and Vogel were all able to reach the Mars Ascent Vehicle and perform an emergency launch at 7:28 Central Time. Unfortunately, during the evacuation, astronaut Mark Watney was struck by debris and killed. Commander Lewis and the rest of her team were able to intercept safely with the Hermes and are now heading home. But Mark Watney is dead.
Oxygen level critical. Oxygen level critical. Oxygen level critical.
Did you hear the gasp from everyone when they heard that Mark was dead? Well, today, that's not how everyone responds. Somehow, they're just able to move on with life, even though people are dying. This was true in the Bible days as well, and that's why Jesus addressed it so much. In fact, many even criticized Jesus for going after those who were dying, those who were far from God. In Luke chapter 15, it says the crowd muttered because Jesus was focusing his whole life on lost and dying people. Jesus would say things like, "It's not the healthy that need a doctor, but the sick." In another chapter, Jesus said that he came for one reason, to seek and to save the lost. And now we have the same mission. The church exists to continue the mission and the ministry of Jesus. How do we know that's the mission of the church? Because Jesus said so in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. It says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you.'" The Apostle Paul re-emphasizes that mission in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, when he writes, "But how can people call on him if they've not believed in him? How can they believe in him if they haven't heard his message? And how can they hear if no one tells them the good news?" This is our number one priority, but we've got to see it first. And that's all Mark Watney needed. He just needed someone to realize that he was lost.
It's in the door. Sit down with that pen, Nisha.
Mindy Park in StatCon. I need the emergency contact for Vincent Kapoor. Yes, him. Yes, it's an emergency.
That's one of my favorite scenes because that's when everything changes. NASA shifts from Mark being presumed dead to now doing something just because they saw evidence that Mark was still alive. We need to do the same thing. We need to see our world the way God does and do something. In John chapter 4, Jesus' disciples were wanting to go get something to eat with him. And at the same time, a whole town was coming toward them to meet Jesus. But the disciples didn't see the crowd coming. They just saw their own desire for lunch. And in verse 35, Jesus said to his disciples, "I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They're ripe for harvest." The disciples were missing an opportunity to help lost and dying people because they were hungry. And if they can miss it, we can too. That's why the most important part of reaching people is seeing people the way God does. Because if you can't see it, then you'll do nothing about it. But if you can see it, that changes everything. That's why I believe it's so important for every Christian to go on a short-term mission trip at least once in your life so you can see it. And I can guarantee you this, you'll never live the same. You'll never give the same. You'll never pray the same ever again. It will not only change your vision about people around the world, it will change the way you see people around the corner from where you live and work. Because people are hurting right now, all around us. And for some, their situation is getting worse and they're losing hope.
How sure?
100%.
Prove it to me.
For a start, solar panels have been cleaned.
It could have been cleaned by wind.
Back it up. Look at Rover 2. According to the logs, Commander Lewis took it out, Sol 17, plugged it into the hab to recharge. It's been moved.
She could have forgotten to log the move.
No, not likely.
Well, why don't we just ask Lewis? Let's get on Capcom and ask her directly right now.
No. If Watney is really alive, we don't want the Ares 3 crew to know.
How can you not tell them?
They have another 10 months on their trip home. Space travel is dangerous. They need to be alert and undistracted.
But they already think he's dead.
And they'd be devastated to find out they left him there alive.
I'm sorry, but you have not thought this through. I mean, what are we going to say? Dear America, remember that astronaut we killed and had a really nice funeral for? Turns out he's alive and we left him on Mars. Our bad. Sincerely, NASA.
How are we going to handle the public?
Legally, we have 24 hours to release these pictures.
We release a statement with them. We don't want people working it out on their own.
Yes, sir.
But if my math is right, he's going to starve to death long before we can help him.
Even imagine what he's going through up there. I mean, he's 50 million miles away from home. He thinks he's totally alone. He thinks we gave up on him. I mean, what does that do to a man psychologically?
If you're like me, I was trying to imagine the emotions of someone who came to the realization that you're going to die and that there's no way to get back home. You know, empathy is a powerful thing. Empathy is the ability to understand and share another person's situation and what they're feeling. When we think about people who are far from God, we need to empathize with their situation. I think sometimes it's easy to see lost people as evil God haters, people who have rejected God. But the truth is, they're the way they are for a reason. They're deceived, trapped, blinded. They're just like we were before Jesus found us and changed our lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 says, "If the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God." Once we see them the right way, I believe it opens the door for them to see the right way. So here's the question of the day. How do we help them see how good God really is? Well, of course we pray, and we do that. But we also have to organize ourselves in such a way where we continually go on rescue missions. And it's not easy. There's always a cost involved. In fact, to do anything that matters, you have to lay down something else.
You should hang up the phone.
I'm sorry, who are you?
My name is Rich Purnell. I work in Astrodynamics, and you should hang up the phone right now.
All right. I'm gonna call you back.
I know how to save Mark Watney. Your pro plan won't work. Too many things can go wrong. I've got a better way.
Astrodynamics?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, who are you?
This is Rich Purnell, Astrodynamics. Tell him what you just told me.
I can get the Hermes back to Mars by Sol 561.
How?
Could you stand right there for me, please? Thanks. Right there, great. And could you stand right there? Right there. Okay, let's pretend that this stapler is the Hermes and you are... I'm sorry, what's your name again?
Teddy. I'm the director of NASA.
Cool. Teddy, you're Earth. And right now, the Hermes is headed towards you, starting its month-long deceleration to intercept. But instead, what I'm proposing is... we start accelerating immediately to preserve velocity and gain even more. We don't intercept with Earth at all, but we come close enough to get a gravity assist and adjust course. While we're doing that, we resupply with the probe.
The Taiyang Shen.
Pick up whatever provisions we need, and now we're accelerating towards Mars. You're Mars. Now, we're going too fast at this point to fall into orbit, but we can do a flyby.
Or could it's a flyby if we can't get Watney off the surface?
Watney would intercept using the MAV.
And then we just head home. I've done the math. Checks out.
Rich?
Yes, sir.
Get out. Is he right?
Yep.
Bruce, what do you think?
Well, if Vincent says so.
We need to use the Tian Shen.
Uh-huh.
What am I missing? Why is that important?
Because we can only do one.
Send Watney and Afu to last till Ares 4, or send Hermes back to get him right now.
Both plans require the Tian Shen, so we have to choose.
But what about the Hermes crew? We'd be asking them to add 533 extra days to their mission.
Yeah, they wouldn't hesitate, not for a second.
Can the Hermes function for 533 days beyond the scheduled mission end?
Should. Built to last the full Ares mission, so technically it's only halfway through its lifespan.
But if something goes wrong...
Then we lose the crew.
So what? We either have a high chance of killing one person or a low chance of killing six people. How do we make that decision?
We don't have to make it, Bruce. He does.
We still have a chance to bring five astronauts home safe and sound. I'm not risking their lives. We're going with option one.
I just got an email from my wife, and the subject line says, our children. My computer won't open the attachment.
Okay. Let's take a look. Let's see. This isn't a JPEG. It's a plain ASCII text file. I don't really know what we're looking at. It's, does that make any sense to you?
Bridge Purnell maneuver. It's a course maneuver for the Hermes. My God.
The mission concludes with Earth intercept 211 days later.
Would it work?
Mm-hmm. We ran the numbers. They check out.
It's a brilliant course. So wild, the cloak and dagger.
Because it goes directly against NASA's decision.
Yeah. If we do the maneuver, they'd have to send the supply ship or we die. We have the opportunity to force their hand.
So, are we gonna do it?
If it was up to me, we'd already be on our way.
But it is, though, isn't it? Up to you?
Not this time. This is something NASA expressly rejected. We're talking about mutiny here, which is not a word that I take lightly. So we do this together or not at all. And before you answer, consider the consequences. If we mess up the supply rendezvous, we die. If we mess up the Earth gravity assist, we die. If we do everything perfectly, we had 533 days to our mission. 533 more days before we see our families again. 533 days of unplanned space travel where anything could go wrong. If it's mission critical, we die.
Sign me up.
All right, cowboy, slow down. You and I were military. Chances are we go home, they'll court-martial us.
Oh, yeah, there's that.
And for the rest of you guys, I guarantee they will never send you back up here again.
Good. So if we go for it, how would it work?
I plot the course and execute it.
Remote override. They could take over the Hermes from mission control.
Can you disable it?
Hermes has four redundant flight computers, each connected to three redundant comm systems. We can't shut down the comms because we'd lose telemetry and guidance, and we can't shut down the computers because we need to run the ship. I'd have to disable remote override on each system. It's part of the OS. I'd have to jump over the code.
Okay, but like in English, like what would that mean?
I can do it.
Well, it has to be unanimous.
If we do this, it will be over 900 days of space. That's more than enough space for one life, so... Yes.
I vote yes.
Let's go get him.
Johansson?
Yes.
Yeah!
I love that scene. People who were already tired and ready to go back home decided to turn around, risk everything, and go try to rescue Mark. And I think we need to do the same thing. I think we ought to continually count the cost, pay the price, risk it all to do everything we can for one more person. Now, it'll require all of us laying down our personal agenda to do what's best for others. So here's a simple little tool to help us. We're going to pass out Lifesaver candies. In fact, our team is going to start handing those out to you right now. I want each of you to take one, and I want you to assign a name to that candy. Someone who needs rescuing. A lifesaver. Now, don't eat it. Use it to remind yourself about your friend who needs God. And pray for them every time you see it. Then look for an opportunity to invite them to church. And on the day your friend comes to the Lord, do two things. Eat the candy and celebrate. Then email us and tell us the story so we can celebrate with you. As a matter of fact, Easter is only 2 weeks away. This is the perfect time for you to invite that person you care about to join you for worship on Easter Sunday. And who knows? Maybe their life and eternity changes that day. All you have to do is pray for them and invite them. Listen, there are people far from God all around us. The question is, will we do everything we can to get them back?
Fuel pressure green.
Engine alignment perfect.
We have T-minus 2 minutes, 10 seconds to launch. By the mark.
About 2 minutes what?
Hey, how you doing down there?
I'm good. I'm anxious to get up to you. Thanks for coming back for me.
Well, we're on it. Remember, you'll be pulling some serious G's, so it's okay to pass out.
You're in Martinez's hands now.
Capcom, go. Remote command.
Go.
Recovery.
Go.
Secondary recovery.
Go.
Pilot.
Go.
Pilot.
Go.
Copy, we'll go.
Mission control, we are go for launch.
T minus 10, 9.
Main engine start.
8, 7. Warm clamps released. About 5 seconds, Watney, hang on.
See you in a few, Commander.
4, 3.
Commander,
I have an idea.
Go ahead, Mark.
Well, if I could find something sharp in here and poke a hole in the glove of my EVA suit, I could use the escaping air as a thruster
and fly towards you. It would be easy to control because it'd be on my arm.
I can't see you having any control if you did that. You'd be eyeballing the intercept using a thrust vector you can barely control.
Yes, yes, those are all very good points. But consider this. I'd get to fly around like Iron Man.
Commander,
let's go, Iron Man.
Communication lost. Stand by.
Maybe it's not the worst idea.
No.
I visual on the map.
What's the intercept range?
I'm checking. 312 meters.
Did you say 312? Great, I'll wave at you guys as I go by.
I can't get to you, Mark. You're too far.
I'm not gonna make it.
I know. Commander, I got this.
Mark, report.
On my way, Commander.
Oh.
Benson, what's my relative velocity to mark?
5.2 meters per second.
Copy. Adjusting course.
Distance to target, 24 meters. 11 meters to target. 6 meters. Hold on, Mark.
You know, it would be very easy as a church to just play it safe, to just meet together and never try anything new, never challenge people to live out their faith. It'd be easy for you to just kind of go through life and never have those difficult moments or those uncomfortable moments where you broach the subject of someone's eternity. But Jesus didn't call us to easy. He called us to freedom, and he called us to share that freedom with others. I love at the very end, because not only is the rescue taking place, the world is watching. And here's what I believe. The world is watching us as Christians to find out, do you really believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life? And if you really believe that, and there's no other way, are you going to share that good news with people? My prayer for you is that God will urge and spur within you the desire to make him known to everyone you meet. Can I just tell you, if you're in this room and you came into this place and you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, you know things weren't right between you and the Lord. Can I just tell you, as valiant as those efforts were on this movie, as much as they set aside all of those things and did the uncomfortable so that they could reach him and bring him home, Jesus did so much more for you. The Son of God laid aside all of his privileges, left his throne in heaven to come to this earth to live a life of sinlessness that you and I couldn't live, to die and pay a price for our sins, and rise to new life so that we could have new life again so that you don't have to be a victim. You don't have to be a victim of bondage and addiction. You're not a slave to anything of your past, that you can be free. And Jesus offers that today and every day to those who call on his name. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? If that's you, I just want you to pray something like this a minute with your heart. Lord Jesus, I thank you for what you did for me. Thank you that you didn't play it safe and just stay in heaven. But thank you that you did what only you could do. The Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world, you came to this earth and you gave your life for my life. And you rose to new life so that I could have new life too. I ask you today to forgive me of the way that I have lived. Forgive me of my sins. And I ask you to become the Lord and the leader of my life. I yield to you today. I yield to your word through the Bible, and I yield to your voice through your Holy Spirit. And I will never be the same. Now, would everyone in the room just pray this prayer with me and just say, Jesus, I give you my life. Come on, one more time. Jesus, I give you my life. Now, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if that's you, I'm not here to embarrass you. I want to pray for you. But this is a moment you need. If that's you, you know when you came in here, things weren't right between you and the Lord. But today, you made them right by accepting Christ for the first time or the first time in a long time. If that's you, would you be bold enough to raise your hand and keep it up really high just for a moment, please? God bless you. Yeah, you're not alone. You're not alone. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Keep them just a moment longer, please. Amen. Amen. You can put them down. Lord Jesus, thank you for lives that have been changed. Lives that not only have their eternities changed, but they're changed now. They're set free. They're not in bondage anymore. They're not enslaved to an addiction or sin. Lord, they're not enslaved to some habit that's throwing them off. Lord, you, the Son, has set them free, and they're free indeed. And so today I pray that every weight, every chain, every sense of bondage that they've lived with, Lord, would come off of their life. And I pray that the joy of the Lord and the freedom of Christ would begin to just surge within them and give them renewed strength. Lord, I praise you and I thank you today for all that you have done. And Lord, I pray for each of us that as you open the doors of opportunity, that we'll be bold enough to step through those and share Jesus with people, to pray for them, to invite them to our services, to Palm Sunday next week, to Easter Sunday, Lord. They're so receptive during this time of year. I pray that as you do that, God, you'll reveal yourself to them and save their lives. And Lord, by faith, we go ahead and give you praise for it. In the name that is above every other name, the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Come on, give the Lord praise in this place, amen. Can you celebrate with me today? Six people gave their hearts to Jesus Christ. Amen. Come on. Come on. That is why we exist. We are so proud of you. But more than that, the Bible tells us that that heaven itself is throwing a celebration because you've accepted Jesus Christ. In a few moments, when this service is over with, there's some folks that are part of our Grow team and Next Steps. If we can help you in any way get started in that journey, if you've accepted Christ this week or in the previous weeks, come down and talk with us. Also, if you just want a way to get to know more about North and through North Life and get involved in a life group or get involved in serving, there'll be some folks down here to talk to you as well. I want to remind you about this Wednesday, first Wednesday, 7 p.m. right here in the Worship Center, and then Saturday, 8 a.m., come be a part of our prayer, our monthly prayer time, 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. We're going to pray for our Easter services, pray over this room, pray over the things that are going on in the world as well. Just believing God is going to move mightily, not only in this world, not only in this church, but in our community as well. Amen? Would you stand with me and allow me the privilege to bless you before you go? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace in Jesus' name. Let's give our response from Psalm 19. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. God bless you, folks. Love you. Have a great week.